This audio presentation is the teaching of Johnny May Makuakani Jarrell of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Mother's Day, was delivered on May 9th, 2021. Here now is Johnny May.
Can you hear me in the back? Yep. Aloha ke akua, mahalo ke akua, and aloha nui kākou to each and every one of you that is here at God's Church, New Hope, East Hawaii. Today we honor and recognize all the mothers, both here in person and online. We're also honoring the memory of those mothers that are no longer here, but we will always remember them. The memories that we have our and love of our mothers, as you heard Lucy talk about, never ever goes away. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 31 says, "Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." The greatest challenge and blessing of a mother is to raise her children in the Word of God. We already know the daily sacrifices and struggles of our moms. A mom needs to first model her own life in Christ as a reflection of His light in her. We encourage each mom to be a mother who worships and reflects God's love for us and in us and towards others as you speak wisdom and kindness into your family's life. Epulikako, let us pray. O God of creation, you were there from the start, before the beginning of time, and with no point of reference. You spoke into the dark, and you brought out the wonder of light. And as you spoke, millions of stars and galaxies appeared at your command. And in the power of your ha, or breath, we were given life through Adam. So let every moment of our lives be of service to you, O Lord. May every moment of our lives be a reflection of your light. And may everyone here today, in person, online, and around the world, be filled with your Holy Spirit, joy, and peace as we gather in your name and for your glory. We ask for your mercy and grace and Holy Spirit to rest upon all mothers. We thank you for blessing them with their children. We pray that you will help us all be a beacon that shines the light of Christ to all of our children. We are truly grateful that you are the light of the world, and we pray that we will be a reflection of your light today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we pray together that most perfect prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And all God's people say, Amen. Besides being a mom, I have another cool title. It's called Tutu. Those of you that are Hawaiian know that in Hawaiian, we call our grandmothers tutu. And so I wanted to share something I read by a 9-year-old called, "What is a grandmother?" A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's little boys and girls. A grandfather is a man grandmother. Grandmas don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have lots of dimes ready. Usually, grandmas are fat. But not too fat, so they can bend down and tie the shoes. Oops, Kalamai, so sorry. Made it, but I better not be that way. I like to move around, but I'm a little scared right now. They wear glasses, which I really should put mine on because I'm struggling to see this. And they can take their teeth off and also their gums. They don't have to be smart, only answer questions like, why dogs chase cats? And how come God isn't married? They don't talk baby talk like visitors do, because it's hard to understand them. And when they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it is the same story over and over again. Everyone should try to have a grandma, especially if they don't have a television, because grandmothers are the only grown-ups who really ever seem to have any time for children. As we celebrate this special day, I'd like to share the stage with a few others from our women's ministry to honor our mothers. As we grow our ministry, each person has become a disciple of Jesus. And like Jesus, we welcome them right where they are, whether it's their first day walking with the Lord or they have been walking with the Lord for more than 80 years. All are welcome to come and love God, love others, and spread the good news of our salvation only found in Jesus. Lynn Kinoshita is the daughter of Emmy Kawamura, longtime members of New Hope East Hawaii. 2 years ago, Lynn was too shy to pray in public. Today, through her faithful and committed walk with the Lord, she is a prayer warrior in women's ministry who excitedly volunteers to pray whenever she's asked. She is still very shy, shaking like a leaf right next to me. I asked her if she wanted me to hold her hand, but she said I can sit down. So it's really outside of her comfort zone. We are so pleased to have her. Please welcome Miss Lynn.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Like Johnny May said, I am very much out of my comfort zone. I am shaking like a leaf, so please bear with me. I'm stepping out in faith, though. So my mother, Emmeline Kawamura, mostly known as Emmy, right there, is a remarkable mother, mentor, confidant, companion, and my best friend. We have an amazing mother and daughter relationship and bond. She is a loving, caring, giving, and nurturing mother to my sister and I. She is a quiet, beautiful, gentle soul. She exemplifies what a good mother and grandmother should be. She is selfless and always putting others first with her kindness and thoughtfulness. She taught me core values, and she made me everything I am today. Her unconditional love, guidance, and encouragement showed me the way. She had a wonderful life with my dad for 54 years. They were both ballroom dance instructors, and there was always so much in love. Unfortunately, in my dad's latter years, he had a massive stroke, and my mother had to be his caregiver. It wasn't easy on her, and I tried to help whenever I could. She took good care of my dad with her steadfast love, devotion, care, and compassion. the purest and truest meaning of the word unconditional love can only be found in God's love and a mother's love. She was my superhero and pillar of strength when I was going through my own difficult times. My mom was always right there with me every step of the way throughout my major setbacks and health issues. That is true and pure love. She is a woman of God and is my guiding light. Now, my mom is my companion, whom I do a lot with, especially traveling. No one can ever take her place. She is a priceless treasure to me, my sister, her grandchildren, and everyone who knows her. She is the heartbeat of our home and such an inspiration. Mom, I am forever grateful for everything you ever did for me, taught me, and gave me. I'm gonna cry, sorry. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are the best mother I could ever ask for. I love you and always will.
Mahalo, Lynn, you did absolutely fabulous. And most of us are very emotional when it comes to our mothers. You know, they're always nurturing us, whether they're scolding us or loving us. Either way. Delia Moniz connects with us on Zoom on our women's ministry. She's learning more and more about Jesus through her daily devotions and being in the Word. She's always concerned about speaking, as English is her second language, and she worries that we're not going to understand her. But believe it or not, we understand you, Miss Delia, perfectly fine. And we don't have a problem understanding. So with that, I'd like to introduce you to Miss Delia.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Well, I'm not prepared for my speech today. I'm just practicing like Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Well, to start with, I recently visited to the Philippines last February 2021 in order to visit my sick mother. And as you can see on the PowerPoint, these are the visits, and this is my mom. Even though I'm far away from my mom, but she is always in my heart, in my thoughts, and in my prayers. I can describe my mom for so many things. Just like the other moms, she's very caring, loving, kind. And when I was young, when I was a little girl, there was a time I remember her that she was wake up in the evening and she was covering me with blanket in order that I will not get cold. So the love of a mother is really an unconditional love and immeasurable love. I can say that all these things that describes about my mother, M is for the million things she gave to me and to her siblings. O stands for means only that she's growing old. Yeah, of course, we are all growing old. Yeah. T is for the tears and the tears that she shed to save me. Well, every mother, when we're delivering the baby, we really have to shed the tears. And that's the reality. H is for her heart of purest gold. Yeah, as I told you, that mother's love, just like Mother Mary, she has a very unconditional love and a great love for his son Jesus, because even though Jesus Christ, his son, was crucified, she didn't even complain. And that's what our mothers, even if they have many sacrifices, they wanted to sacrifice everything for their children just to make their children happy. E is for her eyes with the love lights shining. R stands for right, and right she's always be. Put this all together and dispel mother, and that's all my mother is all about. Again, thank you very much for giving me a chance to speak in front of all of you. Happy Mother's Day to all.
Okay, so we have to save the best for last. It's Miss Jen. Everyone knows Jen. She's no stranger to this stage. She has done a number of messages here. She's braver than I. She is my co-pilot. She doesn't know. She really is the Kalaiva, or the driver of our women's ministry. I just tell her she's the co-pilot. She's also my technical support, and she truly is my best friend. Jen Architola.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, so I read an article once talking about how certain traits or features can skip generations. I suppose to a certain degree that may be true. You see, I didn't get the green eyes or the thick wavy Hawaiian hair or even the hula hips that my mom has. No, I got the plain Jane brown eyes, thin semi-straight hair, and two uncoordinated left feet. Psalms 139:14 teaches us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. To this I say, thank you, Jesus, and a great big hallelujah, because what I've realized is that by the grace of God, some of the best and most important traits were indubitably passed on generation after generation. That's my mom and my grandma. Thank you, Mom, for being the ultimate exemplification of love, strength, respect, and honesty. Thank you for instilling these values in me. I am so very blessed and grateful to have you as a mom, but even more thankful that my children are blessed to have you as their grandma. Happy Mother's Day.
Mahalo nui to all of the women who have shared this morning. Kind of gets the pressure off of me, I tell you. You notice that I'm wearing long pants for the first time, because if I wasn't, you could see my legs shaking over. You know, my pants usually short like this, yes, you all know. I'm always hot because I live in Volcano, and by the time I get here, I'm so hot. So I wear the pants not too long, but today I'm trying to cover up all the shaking under there. Two women who have inspired and molded my life are my tutu and my mom. My turn to be emotional.
There's a bathhouse in the country, built from lumber thrown away. Yeah, there's cracks between the seams, but let the sun in every day. There's a corrugated roof that makes the rain sound twice as loud. There are things that I've forgotten until the memory speaks out loud. I'll return to Honu'apo.
Our tutu always took us to church from the time we were born. We spent our summers at our country home in Honu'apo in Kau. Most of you probably passed it and never knew. It sits on the right side of the road, just above the Whittington Beach Park, and it's the only greenhouse still in its original form since 1936. And it has all these huge mango trees everywhere. This place was filled with dirt and tons of trees to climb, providing us the best playground. There was always a morning ohana to begin the day, and evening ohana before we went to bed, daily devotions. Fridays were dedicated to youth Christian endeavor. Sunday was clean the church yard, and Sunday was an all-day thing, beginning with Bible study, Sunday school, big church, and grown-up meetings that lasted most of the afternoon. There was always something to clean or fix or break down or build up at the church. So when people like myself say we were brought up in church, we truly mean every word. Tutu taught us the Lord's Prayer and numerous scriptures in all in Hawaiian, as English was her second language. We blessed our food every single meal, even if it was a snack, because Tutu said, the food is more ono when you thank Jesus first. When we asked why she spent so much time in church, her women's Bible study, reading the Bible every day, and why she always took us kids with her, she said in her best pidgin, if you feed your keiki poi when they small kids, they going to be ono for poi when they come back home as adults with their kids. But if you no feed them poi when they come ali'i, they no ono that taste when they grow up. The same thing with the Bible. When you no feed yourself the word every day, or when you no feed your keiki the word of God when they young, they no ono for the word when they grow up, because they no ma'a. They are not used to it. Kalamai, I tell you, I have an alarm for everything, so I'm gonna turn this thing off. I'm getting old. I gotta alarm myself for everything. Now I don't even know how to turn them off. I'm still learning. Kalamai. The same thing with the Bible. When you no feed yourself the word every day, or when you no feed your keiki in the word of God when they young, they no ono for the word when they grow up, because they no ma'a. They're not used to it. Kanaka wisdom from my tutu. That was her version of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. She was up before the chickens making our favorite breakfast, kope, or coffee, which was really hot cocoa. But we were so me'o that we always wanted to have what she had. So, even though it was cocoa, she told us, inu kope, drink your coffee. We only got one pancake each because Tutu filled the large cast iron skillet to the rim with batter. And the result was a pancake this big. So you only need one. And don't forget the magic syrup. What's that? Strong coffee with choke molasses inside. Yum. Eat them up and don't forget to lick the plate. She gave us enough energy to hurry outside after breakfast to rake up all the leaves under the mango trees. Tutu was always whispering to herself, singing or humming, as she kept busy working all day. Later, we found that she was really not whispering to herself, but talking to God about everything and singing his praises. Tutu lived a blessed and joyful life in Jesus until she joined the Lord at 90 years of age. Next comes Mom. As a kid, I always thought I had the most beautiful mom. Like Mom, she is the steadfast lover of the one and almighty God. My parents were the same way as my tutu at the country church they served as kahu, or pastors. Although a retired kahu, Mom continues to serve the Lord. Just this past Tuesday, she was asked to conduct a celebration of life at Hilo Bay. Get ready for this and be ready to take action when I tell you what Mom's first words were. Ready? Raise your hand if you know God. All right. Mom would be in tears just seeing you all raising your hand, and pretty quickly too. As only 1/4 of the hand slowly came up, she began to weep. Well, let me tell you about our loving God and Jesus as we celebrate the life of my godson, who knew and loved the Lord and has now gone home to be with his Maker. She is loving and kind, the smartest person I know, so meticulous about everything, and so talented too. She was the best cook and baker, sewed our clothes, made Hawaiian quilts, feather lei, lauhala hat, and so much more. She had a full life, working as a private secretary at the Naniloa Hotel, then for nearly 30 years, as the private secretary for chancellors, 7 of them, at the University of Hawaii in Hilo. She was a super organized planner and wrote everything down. There were notes on top of notes, on top of the calendar, on top of her notebook. She never missed a beat. She planned every detail and organized luaus, special events, church ho'ike, and so much more. In memory of my dad, who was the senior kahu at Opihikau Congregational Church in Puna until his passing in 2006, Mom was a driving force to create the John P.C. Makuakani Institute of Christian Leadership, which offered training to Native Hawaiian pastors on the island of Hawaii. On the 22nd of this month, Mom will be 88 years young. She still lives alone, still drives her own car, makes me scared, still mows the 4 acres of lawn at our Opihikau property, and still praises Jesus every single day. She can rattle off scriptures from memory and give a play-by-play of where it's found, what it means in our life, how it connects to God, and why it's important for us to know. Few people I know can keep up with what she does for others. If you ask her how she does it, she says, by God's mercy and grace. So I say, God bless you, Mom. And she's not here, even though she took her 2 vaccines. And as my dad would always say, no scare 'em, go get 'em. Okay, are you ready for the message? I bet you thought that was the message. Hey, we was just warming up. Remember, when I went to church as a kid, it started at 7 and we got home at 5. So hang on to your seats. And I know Pastor Scott has asked you before, because I was here, and obviously this is my first time since COVID, but how many of you brought your Bible, hold them up high? I know some people got it on their phone, some people got it like this. All right, awesome. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and accepting to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer who lives. Amen. Amen. The title of my message is, Isn't She Lovely? Yes. We are. Our first scripture is taken from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 18. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And in just a few hours after these words were spoken, Jesus proved that he has that kind of love. Verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do my command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." You know that servants work out of obligation or duty or for pay or to avoid punishment. But a friend has a relationship. Are you merely a hired hand or servant of Jesus? Or are you a friend of Jesus? Think carefully before you answer that question, because your answer to that question will determine your motive. It will color every aspect of your Christian life. Jesus has called us to be more than servants. He has called us to be his friend. The rest of chapter 15 is full of important truths. Verse 16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." Don't expect any medals for living a godly life. God doesn't. Why should you? From this world, you can expect rusty nails. And when they come flying at you, all at once, put on the armor of God and say, "Bring it on." Just know that life is always unexpected and messy without Jesus. So choose wisely and learn from God's infinite wisdom rather than consequences. When you choose Jesus, be ready, because Jesus strips us all of our excuses. Reject the beauty, the truth in Jesus Christ, and it's proof that you never wanted God in the first place. So choose to love God and love others. So here's the story for you, just in case you've fallen asleep. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And God said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. She must have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. She must run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands." The angel shook her head slowly and said, "Six pairs of hands? No ways." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," God remarked. "It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's on the standard model? asked the angel. God nodded. One pair that sees through closed doors when she says, "What are you kids doing in there?" even though she knows exactly what they're doing. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, "I understand and I still love you," without so much as uttering a word. "God," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "get some rest tomorrow." "I can't," said God. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Kalamai. It's my mother. Can I be real bad and say hello?" "Hi. Mom, I am giving the message. Say hi to everyone." "Hi. Did you hear?"
"Thank you."
"Okay, okay, goodbye. I gotta tell you, mothers always have such timing, yeah? I remember when I was working, she had that kind of timing, and I was always telling each of my different bosses as I worked, I said, you know, the only two people I have to answer the phone, no matter what, no matter even in a meeting, is my mother and my very sick daughter. Until today, I still have that rule, so kalamai mahalo nui. So back to our story about the eyes. Okay, so anyway, after all the eyes are on, the angel bends over and runs her fingers across the cheek. "There's a leak," she announced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model," says the angel. "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride." "You are a genius," said the angel. God said, "I didn't put it there." Here's a story if you can even imagine a world without mothers. Raise your hand if you can imagine your life without your mother. Okay, good. Nobody would raise their hand. So here's the story. In a mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Why, of course. There has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what we will be later." "Nonsense," said the first. "There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" The second said, "I don't know, but there will be more light than in here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat with our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand right now." The first replied, "That is absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need. But the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded." The second insisted, "Well, I think there's something, and maybe it's different than in here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore." The first replied, "Nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back here? Delivery is the end of life. And in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere." "Well, I don't know," said the second, "but certainly we will meet mother. and she will take care of us. The first replied, Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now? The second said, She is all around us. We are surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist. Well, I don't see her, so it is only logical that she doesn't exist. To which the second replied, Sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and you really listen and you perceive her presence, you can hear her loving voice calling down from above. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 says, Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Oh my goodness, doesn't it sound like somebody we know? Yep, that's Mom, big time. If we are supposed to emulate God and be Christ-like, then what if we looked at a mother's love the same way we look at God's love? It would sound something like this. Mom is patient. Mom is kind. Mom does not envy. Mom does not boast. Mom is not proud. Mom is not rude. Mom is not self-seeking. Mom is not easily angered. Mom keeps no record of wrongs. Mom does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Mom always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Mom never fails. So wouldn't you say that Mom emulates or exudes or is the physical copy of God for what he wishes for us? It never says Mom never makes mistakes, so she is perfect. But Mom sure touches our hearts. And moms can be little kolohe. So those of you out there who grew up and said you were kolohe, the mothers can be too. A mom once told her version of how humans were formed in Genesis chapter 2. She said, one day in the Garden of Eden, Eve calls out to God, Lord, I have a problem. What's the problem, Eve? God asks her. Lord, she said, I know you created me and have provided this beautiful garden and all these wonderful animals and even that hilarious comedy snake over there, but I'm just not happy. Why is that, Eve? Came the reply from above. Lord, I'm lonely. And I'm sick to death of apples. Well, Eve, in that case, I have a solution. I shall create a man for you, the good Lord tells her. What's a man, Lord? She inquires. Well, this man will be a flawed creature, will be aggressive and have an enormous ego and an inability to empathize or listen to you properly. All in all, he'll give you a hard time. But he'll be bigger than you, and he'll be faster than you, and he'll be more muscular than you. He'll be really good at fighting and kicking a ball around and hunting fleet-footed animals. Sounds great, says Eve with an ironically raised eyebrow. God then says, but you can have him on one condition. What's that, Lord? She says. You'll have to let him believe that I made him first. Okay, women, I hear you laughing, so I'm going to reel you back in. There's always two stories. Here's the male version. Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden, feeling very lonely. So God asked, what's wrong with you? Adam said he didn't have anyone to talk to. God said he was going to give him a companion and said, this person will cook for you and wash your clothes. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to care for them, hogwash. She will not nag you, and she will always be the first to admit she's wrong when you've had a disagreement. I disagree. She will never have a headache, and she will freely give love and compassion whenever needed. Adam said, wow, Lord, what will I have to give up to get this woman? God replied, an arm and a leg. Adam said, ouch, what can I get for just a rib? First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, sets before us all what will remain when the fullness of eternity begins. But now, faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But the greatest of these is love. In Hawaii, we say aloha is God's greatest commandment. Fragile, handle with care. How often have these words been put on a shipment to protect the contents of a package? In an ideal world, such boxes would be gently moved from place to place, and nothing would ever be damaged. However, in the real world, fragile, handled with care, means absolutely nothing. These words are overlooked on packages all the time. Boxes are thrown together and carelessly dropped. Packages are opened to reveal a broken and damaged content inside. I wonder if God were to have placed a handle with care label on people, if it would likewise be ignored. How often is a heart of an individual crushed, or the spirit of a child broken? Words and actions damage and wound people every single day. Healing and restoration to the human heart can be an extremely slow process, and only God can make the wounded new again. And you know what is God's number one weapon? It's L-O-V-E, love. The Apostle Paul concludes this chapter by setting forth not simply the three greatest spiritual virtues, but the three virtues, faith, hope, and love, the magnificent triad, abide eternally. At the end of the age, the spiritual gifts will pass away. This passing has nothing to do with the loss of power, but they will have fulfilled their reason for being. Our faith and hope and love will continue forever. Actually, faith and hope are encompassed by love, which believes all things and hopes all things. Faith presently concerns the authenticity and content of God's message. It is the will to believe that God's truth is true, even when we have not seen it with our natural eyes. Faith eternal is here seen as confidence in God. Faith is eternal because the trust and surrender that are the basis of our relationship with God is eternal. Hope is the earnest expectation to the point of assurance that what we believe will become reality. It concerns our attitude and focus. Faith and hope are eternal because our relationship with God is living and dynamic and always will be growing. Love, though, is much more useful. Our faith will save us, but our love will benefit others and even lead them to salvation. For love moves us to action. So love is the greatest not only throughout eternity, but right here and now on earth in our earthly lives. It is inherently greater because it is part of the nature, the very essence of God. 1 John 4:8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Love is the link God gives us with his eternal self. No matter our age or status in life, we all can strive to love others as God loves them. We may accomplish great things in our life, gain fame and fortune, but the greatest thing is to love. For of all that we have done or ever will do, only what is done in love will endure throughout eternity. We will depart, but what is done in faith, hope, and love will abide forever. Remember, love always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres, and never fails. One of my favorite quotes defines love as, wait, my nose is running color. Don't cry when you speak. It says, love is like a bridge that connects our hearts when we are apart. The rainbow that colors our world when we're together. And the bond that keeps us learning and growing together in the Lord. Can anyone really comprehend unconditional love? It seems the love that parents have for their children is as close to unconditional love as we can ever get without the help of God's love in our lives. We continue to love our children through the good times and the bad, and we don't stop loving them if they don't meet the expectations we may have for them. We make a choice to love our children even when we consider them unlovable. Our love doesn't stop when we don't feel love for them. It is similar to God's love for us. But as we shall see, God's love transcends the human definition of love to a point that is hard for us to comprehend. Another great verse about God's love is found in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We find no conditions placed on God's love for us. God doesn't say, as soon as you clean up your act, I'll love you. Nor does he say, I'll sacrifice my son if you promise to love me. God's love is unconditional, not situational. And it's not based on feelings or emotions. He doesn't love us because we're lovable or because we make him feel good. He loves us because he is love. He created us to have a loving relationship with him. and he even sacrificed his one and only son, who, by the way, willingly died for us to restore that relationship. God is love. How should we define love? It's already been defined, and that one word definition is M-O-M, mom. To every single mom present online and around the world, God bless you. Amen. Epulekako, let us pray. Aloha kia kua, mahalo kia kua. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of our time, we come to you with grateful hearts as we remember all of our mothers. Bless each and every one in attendance, online, and around the world. Help us to reflect your light in our lives to each other. We thank you for the privilege and honor of bearing the title Mom. The gifts of our children that you have given to us as mothers are treasured blessings. Lord, help us remember the great biblical mothers in Pastor Scott's quiz and their sacrifices and struggles. They and their children have left us a rich legacy and roadmap full of examples and encouragement to follow. Help us to remember to go to these places in your word, the Bible, to seek those scriptures for wisdom, support, and comfort. And when we just feel alone in our struggles as a mom, let us not lose sight of who we are in Christ and who you are in us. Keep our feet steadfast on the path of righteousness and our hearts in pursuit of your wisdom. Bless and protect our lives amidst the challenges of parenting and our current world crises. Mold us into the moms you made us to be. Help us to always love you first and foremost, and to love and serve others to your glory. In the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people say a resounding amen. Amen. I now leave you with a song entitled, Jesus Will Still Be There by Point of Grace. Jesus has always been there from the start, even before time began. And don't let anyone tell you any different. God doesn't just show up. He has never changed. He was, he is, and he will always be there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will still be there waiting for you and me with open arms. We need to make a choice and simply show up. And now go and make disciples of others for Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Johnny May. God bless you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
And it was so perfect. Your mom called at the right time. Yeah. Did you set that up, or was just like, it was her eyes that was behind her head that could see you? Yeah. All right. So I want all of you, the Bible says to honor your mother and father. Right? Now, it doesn't say if or because, just says to honor. So go out and do that. Not just today, all right? But every day. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful, terrific week, and go love your mothers. Going gets tough when the ride's too rough.
You've been listening to Johnny May Makuakane Jurel of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.